This is Drive Through Radio on AM 790. Call Paul and John Zangari now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. Drive Through Radio with Paul and John Zangari on your station for talking business, AM 790.
Good morning. Welcome to Drive Through Radio. It's car care for you right here on AM 790. My name is Paul Zangari. I got my little brother John here with me.
How you doing, Paul?
And we are happy to say good morning once again to Brett Ferruccio.
Good morning.
A.K.A. Rooch. You can hear him with Gresh just about every night.
Well, when Gresh takes a breath sometimes.
When you let him take a breath. Anyway, we are here to talk about cars with you, and if you've got any kind of an automotive concern or a question or an observation, this is the hour to either get it off your chest or get some information about it. The numbers are 437-5000 or 888-345-0790. And if you're wondering, what's the news guy doing talking about cars, and why does he drag his kid brother along with him? Well, actually, in a previous life, worked for Fram when they were in town, and I did a lot of their technical communications. Joined the Society of Automotive Engineers back in 1985, never left, actually still do a bit of automotive journalism and have been certified in four areas of automotive repair. John has been a certified automotive master technician since they started the program, and also has taught automotive technology for quite some time. So we're probably in a position to help you out. We've also got something to give you. And, John, what is it?
Oh, we have a family five-pack of tickets to the New England International Auto Show up there in Boston. And it's coming up this week, January 11th through the 15th.
Yep.
So. At the, I always have to read this part, the BCEC.
That's the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center.
On Summer Street in the Seaport section of Boston.
Where there was quite a bit of flooding this past week. Boy, did Boston get slammed.
Something about sea and port, and I guess, and water, and high tide, and snow, and
here's the combination that did in a lot of Massachusetts. First of all, in Boston, the direction coming into the harbor was the direction that the winds were coming from the storm. The storm was what they called bombogenesis, and it sounds made up, but it's a technical term for the fact that it is accompanied by a rapid drop in atmospheric pressure, and atmospheric pressure actually helps keep the water level down. So if you've got less pressure holding the water down, it's likely to come up. It hit at high tide, and we had the super moon helping to pull it up. As if that weren't bad enough, along the Massachusetts coast, it was warmer than it was here in Rhode Island. Bad news when a storm like this is coming, because it rained.
Then it did in New Bedford, yes.
Yeah, it flash froze, and that put glue on wires and trees as the snow came down. So guess what happened?
No electricity.
Yeah, so to top it off, as the water's getting higher and higher, an awful lot of the pumps weren't working.
Yeah, I just want to make a little correction so some people can understand. Hit most of Massachusetts. It only hit coastal Massachusetts.
Exactly, along the Mass coast.
I mean, Worcester didn't have any problem with flooding.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Actually, Worcester didn't even get as much snow.
That's odd.
Yeah, some of the other places, and that really is unusual. At one point there were more than 21,000 customers without power. You know, it's a mistake to say people without power because, you know, how many people? You had five people in your house when all the kids were
customer.
Home. Yeah, exactly. So you don't know how many could have been, you know, hundreds of thousands of people without power, potentially, when 21,000 customers don't have it. So, but now there's been an after effect, something you may feel as you're driving down the road. You know, your car start to shake. There might not be anything wrong with it. You might be just experiencing something like my cousin Vinny did with mud.
Car was shimmying on the highway a little bit.
And you got mud in your tires.
I got mud in my tires?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. How do you get mud into the tires?
Oh, no. You see, that's just a figure of speech. See, the mud gets around the inside of the wheel, throws the balance off.
And that's just what happens with ice as well, and snow.
And snow. Now, of course, if you dug your car out of snow, by the way, when I dug my car out of snow, I have two cars in the driveway. One was on the north side of the driveway, and there was nothing underneath it.
Right.
And it was I didn't even have to get close to it. The second car had a little bit next to it because it was next to the north car.
Right.
But underneath the second car, there was snow all the way up to the bottom of the car.
Yeah,
usually when
there,
snow
yeah.
falls down, there's nothing underneath the car.
Yeah.
But in this case here, it blew and underneath and stayed there. Now, after cleaning that car out, the wheels are full. Now, everybody today has open wheels, it seems.
Yeah.
All right?
Yep.
So that there's spokes, and in between the spokes, snow and ice gets.
Yep.
And that throws the car out of balance like Vinny's mud story.
Exactly.
And you can clean it out with a brush if you'd like, or your hand.
Or a stick.
Yeah, practically anything. And, yeah. and as long as you're not violent, you shouldn't. There should be no chance of damaging anything unless
right.
you're there with a piece of steel.
Yeah.
All right? But here's the thing. You can leave it, and you can drive, and the car will shake. Now, if you have a Prius, it'll take forever for the heat from the brakes to melt them out because it doesn't use the brakes a lot of times.
Got a clue for you. It didn't get hot enough. The brakes didn't get hot enough to melt it on the Flex, which is a big, heavy car that is not a... It doesn't have regenerative
braking.
See,
that clip, that always bothered me about My Cousin Vinny. I love that movie. It is a great movie.
You bet it is.
But they're from New York.
Yeah.
And they're both, she's a mechanic, obviously, Mona Lisa Vito.
Yep.
And Vinny says he worked in various places as a mechanic
her
as
well. Her father's garage, I think, for a while.
Right, exactly, right, for her dad or whatever. And, right, the fact that they weren't able to immediately translate that, because, again, I'm not a car guy, but I've had snow in my tires plenty of times, and the fact that they weren't able to draw that line, that always bothered me. I was like, come on, like, mud, you've had snow in your tires if you're from New York, come on.
Yeah, right, I figure, well, they just aren't used to mud being of a variety that'll collect in the wheels.
I guess, yeah. Mississippi clay.
Yeah, you know, you have to grant them a little bit of license there. But you know, it was the funniest thing because I rarely was going to movies at the time My Cousin Vinny came out. And I saw the trailers on TV. And the thing they kept making a point about was these Utes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I had already been through that. Listening to police scanners, Mike Cabral used a kid back in the newsroom here at 790, he heard a call one time of three Utes running on foot up Westminster Street. You know, so
do you run?
Yeah, well, I know. So, but that was, you know, we were used to hearing that type of speech. But Tom DeLulio, the former lieutenant governor, was getting on my case to go see the movie. And I'd see him at Channel 36 every week. And finally he says, look, when are you going to go see the movie? I says, well, why should I? He says, all right, you've covered a lot of court cases. You know what it's like in a courtroom. You have cousins who are attorneys. You know cars inside and out. And you're Italian. Go see the movie. So finally, I did, and I thanked him. Because it really was funny. And it is one of my favorites to this day. But it is accurate. So like you said, you can clean it out. Now, in some cases, and usually it's when the weather is a little closer to freezing, your brakes are going to warm the wheels enough to get that stuff to melt in pretty short order. Or it's just going to melt while your car is sitting while you're at work during the day. But that's not going to happen at least until tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Monday.
Monday is when it starts. Well, actually, I think there's some 30s tomorrow, but just vaguely.
Yeah, in Florida.
I'll have to double-check AccuWeather. But, by the way, I was looking at the AccuWeather channel Thursday morning.
Frozen over. It says closed, no heat.
No, but one of the meteorologists, and I was asking Bob Larson to check into who it is, one of the meteorologists, I'm going, I know that guy. And then it dawned on me. He's almost a spitting image for the public defender in My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, okay.
but at any rate, but he speaks much more eloquently.
There's another reason why.
But just to finish up about the temperatures, I'll bet there are a lot of people right now kicking themselves that they didn't spend the extra, you know, $20,000 to put in a big heated garage.
Well,
because that's a cure.
Yeah, but you know what? That's a lot of money to run.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, if you can get if you can come up with an excuse to get your car inside of a heated garage, you know, an hour there and it's fine.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. Because we had cold weather and snow, you've got this problem we've been talking about. But if you just have cold weather, sometimes in the morning, and this cold especially, your car tires or steering wheel will shake because of you've got rubber, square tires.
The rubber gets stiff. Yeah.
The rubber is so hard and stiff. Mm-hmm. And one other bad thing about that, and today on the way in, I saw more flat tires than I ever had on a Saturday morning coming in. And these are people with very stiff rubber tires, probably low profile, and potholes.
Yeah, that's a dangerous combination for tires. Not to mention, if you've got a slow leak, it's a faster leak when the weather is colder. So that adds to the problem. I'm carrying around a can of air with me right now.
Why? Are you that paranoid?
I got a tire that's been getting soft every now and then, so I figure if it's going to happen, I didn't realize I had two that were like that. I had one fixed, and then the other one started to take over.
That's that sympathy thing.
Yeah, I suppose so. Anyway, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we've got some tickets to give away, so make sure you stick around. Put on your thinking caps. We'll continue with Drive Through Radio in a moment at 437-5000 and 888-345-0790 here on AM 790.
Oh, I'm calling you again.
What? We want to know something that's of no use whatsoever?
Useless information. That's your middle name.
Well, yeah, I have to... Well, wait a minute. Not when I'm wearing my news hat. But at any rate...
Don't bet on it.
Well, watch it. Anyhow, we have something to give away, so the information is not useless, because if you know the answer, you get to claim a prize that is...
Is a family five-pack to the New England International Auto Show at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center in the Seaport section of Boston on Summers Street.
There you go.
And it's this week, starting on Thursday
at
4 o'clock.
There you go. So, again, your opportunity to check things out and look at the latest in automotive vehicle offerings. And, by the way, in order to win, you have to be the first caller with the right answer to the question we're about to ask. And since we do have a caller, we'll ask him if he wants to play. And the question that we're asking is for you to name a General Motors brand that is no longer being manufactured. You know, why don't we make it somewhere between, 1939 and the current day, all right? Because, believe it or not, there were some way back, like in the 1920s. But at any rate, there are several possible answers, any one of which are right. A General Motors brand no longer being manufactured. The tickets will be here for you to pick up during business hours at the station. John in North Providence, you're on Drive Through Radio. Good morning. Hi, John.
Thanks for taking the call, Paul.
Glad to. Hey, John, just before we get to your car question, did you want to play the trivia game? Can you use the tickets?
What are the tickets designated for?
They are for the auto show in Boston that comes up starting this Thursday.
No, unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to make it, but thank you. I appreciate
it. That's all right. You're welcome. But now to the business at hand here about your car. What's up?
Yes. I have a 2004 Chevy Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
A low mileage on it. It went to the bank the other day with the drive-up window.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize the window was frozen in place on the driver's side, and when I hit the automatic down, it just froze in place. Since then, I haven't tried to put the window up or down. I immediately reversed the switch to the up position, thinking that I may have burned something out or whatever. The point is, do you think I've done any serious damage by pressing that button when the window was frozen?
Is it frozen up or down right now?
It's frozen in the up position, John. So
be thankful of that.
It was only a second where I hit it quick. You know, the drive-up window when you go to the bank is only a second type of push on the button. You know,
I think you were quick enough to prevent any damage, frankly.
I agree. I don't. If you hit that button within a second or two, you probably didn't do any damage, because usually the damage comes from heat, and the heat builds up when it's trying to move and it can't. And with this kind of weather,
it doesn't get hot fast.
It takes a little more longer to get hot.
Yeah.
In the future, if it happens again, when I press the down button, it's the automatic down where the window goes all the way down. Should I reverse the button immediately?
Yeah.
In other words, go back to the up position or just leave it alone?
I think we both think you did the right thing.
Yeah, I do the up, even though there may be some kind of a circuit breaker in it because it's an automatic.
Yeah.
But I still wouldn't take the chance. I'd pull it back in the up direction and just to cancel the automatic down.
Yeah.
No. And you should be fine. And no. It's not going down now because, of course, it's still frozen.
Right. It's still frozen, John. So my question to you is, to both of you, is once we get some thaw-out weather.
Monday afternoon, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. If I try, you know, when it's over 32 degrees, if I try to get that window down, should it operate properly?
Yeah.
If it does not, does that mean that the circuit breaker or some other damage has been done?
Well, the circuit breaker is usually instantaneous, and then it comes back. So, I mean, there's
it
a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
it does.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a possibility that you know, of a burnout, except that neither of us thinks it's very likely.
Yeah. In the past, circuit breakers have had buttons on them in some cases,
yep,
where you could reset the button, and that would be at the fuse block. But in your case, at 32 degrees or 33 degrees.
It's not going to necessarily release it just yet. I'd say I went ahead a little bit too far here. I was checking the extended forecast, but I think we're going to see something like 35 or 38 on Tuesday. On Monday, 36 degrees. Now, it's looking like it's cloudy, but if there's any kind of sun, I'd say, you know, put that window in the sun and give it a little bit of time.
Right.
And then try it. And, you know, 40 on Tuesday, I mean, still clouds and sun.
Yeah.
But,
also.
But the thing is, one other thing that you can do when you're in a situation that you just encountered, especially when you're sitting in a line, you know, or going up to a drive-through window. I like the term drive-through window.
I wound up opening the door instead.
What else could you do?
Well, yeah, shut the ignition, open the door to make sure that you don't have delayed accessory power, and just, you know, in effect, cut the power to the circuit.
All right. Okay. Now, one of the things, though, that I'm going to caution you, when you go to do this, all right, don't put the window all the way down if it moves. Okay. And one of the reasons is that if the window, lots of windows sit in channels that are, the glass sits in a channel that's squeezed together and puts tension on the glass at the bottom with some kind of rubber insert. And when a window is frozen, you could actually pull that off.
The channel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And if that was to happen, then the window could slide down the track and go into the door.
Okay.
So the reason I'm saying this is, so if it did pull off, if you don't put the window all the way down, so you have enough to grab
with your
hands, you can put hands on both sides and push up the glass and then put the window up, and hopefully the mechanism underneath will be at least pushing
underneath
up
underneath
the glass, so you can drive to get it fixed
without having a 50-mile-an-hour wind coming through there.
Right.
Yeah.
Ice cubes on the way to the garage.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
One other question, though, Paul or John. If there was damage done, more likely, what would it be? Would it be the motor, or would it be the electrical circuit?
More likely the motor.
Yeah.
The motor, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that would be, I guess, kind of major, where they'd have to break off the liner or the inside of the door.
Yeah. Oh, they're made to take apart, though.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a major problem. An engine and transmission and a differential.
That's a major problem.
Those are major problems.
Yeah. So, in other words, you don't think it would be something like that would break the bank?
No.
And in fact, by the way, you know, there are loads of Tahoes and similar GM vehicles with interchangeable parts that are in salvage yards, and you can get the whole assembly for a reasonable price.
I'm thinking you saved it, then there's no problem.
We don't think you have a problem.
Yeah.
We think that by Monday or Tuesday, you'll find things back to normal.
Yeah, just don't rush. There's no reason to have the window open this time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, John, thank you.
Listen, thank you. And again, any light you can shed on this, we're listening. So thank you again.
It's all right. We appreciate it. Thanks for the call. All right. Hey, we want to congratulate Jack in East Providence. He came up with the name of at least one of the GM manufacturers. I shouldn't say manufacturers. GM's the manufacturer. One of the GM brands or makes that's no longer being made. And we will include among those Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Oakland. Oakland used to be Oldsmobile, although that goes back to before the 1940s.
LaSalle,
1940 or so. And Saturn, like you said.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there were more. I mean, there's Marquette, there's Viking.
I got one you missed.
Yeah.
Saab.
Yeah, you know, in a way you could have included that. Yeah, although we're, you know, GM you usually think of as domestic. But you're right, GM kind of pulled the plug on Saab. But let's see, and if you go back into 1929-30, there was Viking, which was an Oldsmobile companion. That's also around the time when Oakland went away, and let's see, there was one other one.
Oakland only went away when it became
after
Pontiac.
Yeah, it became Pontiac. Yeah. Actually, what happened was Pontiac was the companion model to the Oakland, and the Pontiac sold better than the Oakland.
Yep.
LaSalle was the companion to Cadillac. It did well, but they were starting to do too well, and Cadillac management came to the conclusion that the Cadillac brand could be done in. So they made what was going to be, I think, the 1940 LaSalle into the Cadillac 60 Special.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, Chevrolet didn't do a companion. We did Pontiac. We did Buick Marquette.
Yep.
That was the other one that went away. Anyway, we're going to go away, but just for a minute or two, and be back here on Drive Through Radio on AM 790. Just a reminder, you can catch podcasts of this show or many other shows if you go to our website, which is 790business.com.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all.
Now, that's a GM brand they're still making.
Yeah, and I suppose she's supposed to do that in weeks.
Mwah! Yeah, right. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, welcome back to Drive Through Radio here on AM 790. What's the temperature outside right now? 5, it says here on the AccuWeather page. We've experienced even worse than that in the last few days. I mean, it's just been absolutely nutso. But, you know, one thing that you see sometimes that I haven't seen much of when the weather is crazy cold is cars on the side of the road overheating, which sounds absolutely nuts, but it does happen.
It makes perfect sense when you know how the whole system works.
Yeah, exactly. It has something to do with your engine fluids.
Yeah. Well, yesterday on one of the local television networks, the reporter...
Well, not the network. One of the network local stations.
Yes.
Yeah.
The reporter was first started off with the AAA's phone's been ringing off the hook.
Wonder why.
People have had dead batteries. And now, of course, if you have a good battery and
good connections, too.
Yes, but when I say a good battery, you'll know that you have one when the car starts up.
Hey!
You know,
Well, that was a question mark with Karen's car because we only owned it a couple of months.
Well, my 2010 Dodge van that I've owned since, I don't know, October.
Spring. I had no idea how old the battery was.
Right,
same here, yeah.
And it started right up yesterday.
Yep.
Now, don't go out and start up your car to see if it'll work and then turn it off in 2 minutes after that.
Yeah, because then you've depleted all of the, a lot of reserve
maybe
there.
Maybe you had something left and you just used it.
Yeah.
All right? So don't use your extra ammo just to see for target practice. But anyway, they said it's been ringing off the hook. And then as part of the story, the reporter said to check your engine fluids. And I'm
going
like,
fluids or fluid?
Fluid.
Check your engine fluid. Yeah.
And I'm going like, do you have any idea what fluid that is? Of course, she didn't
answer.
She didn't answer when I asked the television that.
Not quite interactive yet. Huh?
But if you come here... and you have questions, we can answer
them. We can give
them.
You the answers, true. But here's how a car overheats in this kind of weather.
This is engine fluid?
Yeah, this is one of the engine fluids
called
coolant. The engine in one of my cars has only one fluid. The Corvair has no liquid coolant.
Yeah, well.
That's right. Well,
don't worry.
If you want to get really esoteric, air is a fluid because it moves.
Air is not a fluid. Air is
fluid. Anyway, yeah.
And what shape is water?
Amorphous.
That's a movie.
Anyway, so your water-cooled, really liquid-cooled engines have a mixture of ethylene glycol plus some other chemicals and water. The ethylene glycol is there to prevent the whole mixture from freezing. If you do not have the right quantity of antifreeze in there, what will happen is it'll freeze. Now, your car has what's called a water pump in it. Your engine has a water pump, and it can pump liquid, but it can't pump slush.
All right.
Yeah. So if you get a freeze-up in there, the coolant isn't going to circulate properly, but the engine's going to continue to get hot, and because it's not getting cooled everywhere, because the fluid isn't moving, you get hot spots that begin to cause a boil over. And this is why, in this kind of weather, it used to be not that uncommon to see cars overheating. And you still see it every now and then these days in this kind of crazy cold weather.
Yep.
But it's still something that happens out there. And it'll happen if you don't have the right quantity of antifreeze. The crazy thing is, we're not at that temperature yet, but there are temperatures at which too much antifreeze is a problem.
Right.
And it's something like, I think it starts at something like 10 or 12 below. But if you've got a roughly 50-50 mixture to 60% antifreeze, 40% water, you're going to be fine down to temperatures that we are not likely ever to see around here.
Maybe you've got to be more careful with the percentage of antifreeze versus water at Frostbite Falls, Minnesota.
Yes.
But not here. We don't really run into that
anywhere
problem.
From 50-50 to 60-40,
yeah. And there is... It will go down quite cold, like a negative 40, maybe more.
Well, negative 40 I like because that's the same in Fahrenheit or centigrade.
I never say whether it's Fahrenheit or centigrade.
Yeah, because it's both. It just ain't Kelvin.
40. Yeah. You know, it's somewhere past that. Antifreeze may have a problem. For example, you know, Antarctica-type weather or, you know, someplace way up in north in Canada where they still can find the land.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing where antifreeze may not antifreeze. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it should be no problem if you have it right over here. But one other thing, though, if you do have that overheat problem, And because of this cold weather and you're slushy, if it turns to slush, that shouldn't be a problem. But if it actually freezes,
it can break things.
Yes, it can. It'll break radiator. If some people have been lucky where the ice cube formed in their hoses,
right?
And the hose
is rubber. It stretches.
And if it's ripped, it's cheap to fix.
Right.
But a radiator is not cheap. They're a couple of $100 repairs.
Cylinder heads and engine blocks.
Breaks your engine block or cylinder head, because those things that people call freeze plugs aren't freeze plugs. The only time those things pop out to save your block is when they're about ready to fall out anyway.
That's right. They're actually core plugs that were there to help cast the engine.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
so
they're still doing it that old-fashioned way.
Because it works. Yeah, but yeah. So when you get into a freeze-up, now if you wind up overheating on the side of the road, sometimes, sitting and waiting, the temperature kind of evens off and it melts the slush to the extent that if you haven't had too much boil off and go away, you can start up and travel. But
yeah, now I was sitting at the side of the road with the engine off.
Yes.
Because you're producing heat if you're running. So you want that heat to kind of like emanate out into the ice
cubes
flow up, and
the
slush,
flow among the things
you
that
know,
are in there.
And,
yeah.
And then start it up again and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, watch the temperature, watch the radiator.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully everything will have liquefied.
Yeah.
And as long as it's liquid, you're all set.
There you go. Now, one other thing that, by the way, there was somebody, the pictures of this went viral. Some guy was driving around Providence in a Mercedes with the top down. I guess it was stuck down.
Well, actually, no. I saw the report. It wasn't stuck down. What happened is, you know, these automatic tops where the hooks in the front are automatic, the locks in the front?
Yeah.
Well, the locks were no longer working. And so if you drove the car and it pushed
the wind would catch under the top
and wrecked the top even more.
Yeah.
So he had to put it down so that wouldn't happen. And he said he was told it would cost $5,000, but I think Gene said he knows somebody who could fix it for less.
Well, but anyway, the fact of the matter is there is now more damage because of all the snow inside the car. But...
Yeah, lots of snow inside the car. And to clean it out with a shovel, I was like, oh, God.
Yeah. But it reminded me of an old ad that I saw.
I think I would have walked.
Yeah, an old mag and put a tarp over the thing or get it into under a carport, anything, you know. But
a bridge if you don't have somebody that could let you do that.
Well, there you go.
He let the car sit with the top up before the snowstorm.
Yeah.
But after driving in the snowstorm, it had the top down. So now,
you know,
it
was perfect time for Uber or Lyft, I would think. You know, or a cab or
and
take
he got a
bus.
A flat too.
Oh boy! But I saw an ad. I was looking for ads for your first old car, the 26 Chrysler Imperial 80, right?
And was that my first old car?
Well, your Mercedes wasn't that old. It was your age.
I know, a 34 Chevrolet. I owned that, too.
Well, actually, Pop owned it.
No, I ended up buying it.
You bought
it? Yes.
All right. Well, anyway, your first really old car, right? Anyway, the first
one... Well, that was not a new car, the 34.
The first one that you went out and found on your own, okay? The 26 Imperial. That car, I was looking for, you know, old ads, and I saw a picture of a magazine ad for one that cracked me up, because there is a guy driving a 26 Imperial Roadster past the Jackson Inn in Jackson, New Hampshire, in a snowstorm with the top down, which was not that uncommon then. But, you know, there wasn't really much of anything to wreck inside the car, was there?
No. I think the leather seats, the horses didn't have a top on when they had the leather or the cow.
All I can picture is that the guy, you know, pulled into the Jackson Inn, stopped the car, and put the top up. But I guess that's when men were men. You know?
Yeah, and they didn't have a heater to melt the snow either.
No, That's true. My 31 Chrysler has a heater. But the crazy thing is that car spent its first, I don't know, 40, 50 years in Quebec without a heater. And then I
can't get over that. Like,
I don't think that car was driven much in the winter. I mean, it was a roadster, so it had very little weather protection. Yeah, it had a top and it had side curtains. Really great protection from the cold, right?
No.
I think if you live in Quebec and you buy a roadster, it's probably your toy. I mean, because the thing had 61,000 miles after 50 years, you know, so.
True.
But then I got a heater of the type that you could go buy at Benny's in the 1930s and put in your car and put it in the car. And it actually felt pretty decent with the heat on driving around in the winter, although not in such crazy cold weather as this.
No. Yeah. You know, I want to go back on engine fluid for a second.
Yeah.
You mentioned that there's, even though the Corvair has a engine fluid
one
engine fluid. If that other engine fluid, in other words, the engine oil, is of the wrong weight or viscosity, which is basically the same thing, will make it tough for the turn. And in the case of a cold engine, not only is the oil, but the metal is closer together, and it's tighter. It's harder to move. The oil is thicker, and the batteries at its weakest point.
The clearances may be at their greatest, but everything's having a hard time going.
And so that fluid, nowadays, you probably use the same thing all year round. But in older cars, in the older days, they used to have different oil for the winter.
Different seasons, We're going to take a break. When we come back, we want to talk a little bit more about when you're starting your car in this kind of weather and some things that we'll just talk about warming it up, too, and what you shouldn't have to do as Drive Through Radio continues here on AM 790.
Gonna save all my money and buy a TV or turn it in on. Get a helmet and a robot.
And slide on the ice. Anyway, welcome back to Drive Through Radio. Hey, this isn't bragging. It's just describing how things should be, all right?
Yeah.
When I got into one thing wasn't the way it should be. I used the remote to unlock the red Flex this morning, right?
Yeah, good luck with a metal key on a day like today.
Yeah, well, the only thing is that the lights come on and stay on. I don't really want that to happen, all right, because it's using current, all right?
Yes.
But the battery is good, and as soon as I opened the door, they shut off. I got in the car, shut the door, stuck the key in the ignition, turned it, car started up. Then I just adjusted the radio, shut the heater off, put on my seatbelt, released the brake, and backed out of the driveway and went away. What was I sitting in the driveway? Maybe 15, 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That's as much warm-up time as a car is supposed to need. Any more than that, it doesn't really do you any good.
Yeah, under extreme weather, a minute is all you really need. Now, that's for the engine. The engine oil circulates, and the car starts warming up.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there were some years where cars, if you waited too long, it would get totally off a choke, and you wouldn't be able to move.
Yeah. Now that goes, you know, back into the days of carburetors.
Right.
Yeah. And there were some very strong negatives in letting the car idle for a long time, including things like diluting the oil with gasoline and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it just was not. It still isn't good. It is not as bad for an engine now to let it idle as it used to be. But consider that most cars today have at least semi-synthetic oil in them, which, among other things, a lot of grades of oil that you use today are good year-round. They don't make it harder to start the engine in the cold. The real problem with trying to start the engine in the cold isn't even that it that the cold hurts your battery, but what it does is it slows down the chemical reaction that allows the current to come out and start the car. The same battery that'll have a tough time starting a car today will do just fine next month.
Right.
In fact, I was looking at AccuWeather, and starting on Tuesday for the rest of January, the coldest daytime high is 30. And there are some days that are in the mid-40s coming up. So, you know, there is life after this. But the fact is, if you have more than one car and one of them didn't start,
yeah,
in this weather, in another few days, it's probably going to be okay, unless, you know, if the problem was just that the battery didn't have quite enough oomph. But
right,
as far as letting it warm up, you need the oil to circulate in the engine. We're going to take as a given the fact that your coolant has enough antifreeze in it that it isn't frozen. It circulates right away. So literally 10, 15 seconds, the oil is moving.
Yeah, but you know, in that 10 or 15 seconds or a minute that your car's warming up,
mm-hmm,
you shouldn't have your foot on the gas pedal revving the crap out of it.
Oh, that's suicidal.
I remember people used to start their cars up.
And
I'm
race
out
them.
There my paper route,
yeah,
you know, and the car would just about start up, and then they'd race it like crazy to keep it running because, of course, it needed work done. But
yeah,
that ruined
it. It was going to need even more work done as a result.
Yeah, that ruined it. Today's cars with the electronic fuel injection, don't touch that gas pedal.
Yeah, I don't think anybody does anymore because
I hope not.
Because EFI has been around now, you know, for better than 20 years. And so most people driving are used to the fact you turn the key and it's going to take care of that part.
In the old days, you used to have to hit the gas pedal once
to set the choke.
Today, you should have your foot on the brake.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to touch the gas at all. Yeah, yeah, depending on the vehicle. Yeah. Or if you've got a stick, your foot has to be on the clutch in some cars.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. But again, once you've started it and you've got the oil circulation, All right. Let it idle 30 seconds, maybe a minute. Click it into reverse if you've got to back out of the driveway. And if you can come out of the driveway at an idle, that's just fine, because what you're starting to do is move, you know, get the transmission fluids moving. And then when you click into drive, don't accelerate like it's, you know, a summer day.
Or a race.
Yeah, or like you've been out there for half an hour driving in this weather. You should be able to just accelerate easily. You know, if you happen to live on Route 95 and have to get up to 65 in a hurry, well, you got a problem, you know.
Right. Most people don't live on Route 95.
Right. But I'm about a mile from 146, and by about the time I hit that on-ramp, I'll accelerate moderately in this weather. I won't give it the gun the way I might on a warmer day because, the engine, the transaxle, all of that stuff is just getting used to moving. And again, circulation, temperature, things getting up to operating temperature. There really is an optimum for everything to be working in the car's powertrain. And in this weather, it takes a little while to get to that temp.
You know, some people start their car up and let it run for like half an hour.
Yeah, so the engine's good and warm.
Yeah, but
tranny ain't.
Well, the tranny's probably not
a little
very warm.
No, it's a little warmed up.
But they've wasted a lot of gas.
Yeah.
And if they need to do that, they'd save a lot of money to get the car fixed first instead of wasting all that money on all that gas that's sitting there going nowhere for a half an hour.
Now, there's one other thing. You know, when the visibility is bad, you know, when you've got caked up ice on your glass, sometimes you need to let the defroster help you. And in that case, the engine's got to idle for a while.
Speaking of dirty windshields.
Yeah, but I just wanted to finish one point. And that is, if your glass has been cleaned in the last few days, there are very few places that I can think of where there's been anything falling out of the sky since yesterday. So if your glass was clean when you got home last night, see, the problem is, the glass gets warm because you've got the heater on inside the car. If you have a little bit of snow land on it while it's still warm, it gets wet and freezes. But since nothing came down last night and it was crazy cold, no condensation can happen. So again, your glass should be no dirtier than it was when you parked the car last night.
But as cold as it is,
water
or things still end up on your windshield, for example.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do? Do you want to take a chance? What's the story here? What are you going to do? Well, you're driving in the morning and the sun is coming up and you're driving, you're heading into the sun and you have salt on your windshield, which, by the way,
you mean like everybody merging onto 195.
Yeah, and the sun hits that salt and it makes it really difficult to see.
And
so,
and the glass is too cold for the windshield washer, right?
You take a chance, and, well, I've been running now for 10, 15 minutes, and my engine is hot, but the outside of the glass is going to be a lot colder than the inside. And where are you going to spray the windshield washer fluid? On the windshield.
Cold glass.
There is a possibility that that thin layer of liquid will ice up. So do you really take the chance?
I don't know. This is where, I bought the stuff, but I bought it when it was 50 degrees outside, and I didn't use what was in there already. I got the purple, really cold temperature fluid, which shouldn't be a problem even in this weather, but it's still in the breezeway waiting for me to use up the blue stuff.
So if you really want to know, you pull over to the side of the road, which of course will help because the windshield will get warmer because you're not moving. Wash the windshield with the windshield wipers and washer cleaner.
Yeah.
And let it sit there and let it dry up before you take off. And if there's still frost out there, take out a credit card or your license and scrape.
Or your scraper.
Well, I think this works better. And scrape the ice physically off that thin layer of ice, and you should be good for a little
while. However, an awful lot of people don't realize that's a problem until you're in a situation like when I was merging from 95 South to 195 East. Everybody was putting their hand up to block the
sun. I knew it was going to be
a
problem, but I didn't do anything about it ahead of time.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. And in a situation like that, there's no pulling over to fix it.
Not over there,
there
isn't.
And by the way, with all the snow on the side of the road, there are a lot fewer places to pull over. Yeah, anyway, that's going to do it for Drive Through Radio for this week. Hope you keep safe in all this crazy weather. Brett, thanks for driving the bus. Thank you for being with us. Don't forget to check your mirrors and signal your turns. I'll see you on the radio on WPRO, and John and I and Brett and everybody, maybe Adam will be back one of these days, but he's still in driver training. Drive Through Radio here on AM 790. Have a great week, and adios.